Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Good morning, South Florida. It is 6:01 a.m. on a wonderful Friday afternoon. For most people, that means that it's the last work day and they're about to turn up for their weekend. For us sports folks,
this morning. You said afternoon.
This morning. Yeah, for us sports folks, it is a wonderful, wonderful work weekend. I actually have Dolphins rookie camp, and Dave Hyde, you're probably going to cover some of this Panthers-Bruins series, I'm assuming.
Yeah, it's talk about a woke-up series. This has caught the nation's attention beyond hockey. Now that you have fist fights and everything after the game.
I always see those fist fights, and they did draw me in. I was like, a little bit intrigued to see this series now that there's bad blood. I always wonder what gets a hockey player into the mindset of, okay, it's time to throw punches.
Well, in that game, it was, I think the Panthers were leading 5-1 with 10 minutes to go. And that's the statement time for the opposing team to start throwing punches.
Okay.
Okay, we lost the game, but we're going to win the fight. But I think I would have interested to see some judges' decisions on the fights, because I think the Panthers took most of them.
Yeah, no, it was very interesting and very entertaining. I'm certainly going to be interested in watching Game 3. But to address your question, or my question, your response, when the Panthers were trailing, I think, by 4 scores, and then played like an empty goal series, and the Bruins scored the last game, how come no fisticuffs in that one?
That's a good point. Game one, there was no fisticuff by the Panthers.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why, what sparks fisticuffs, right? Now, the interesting thing in that one, of course, was Tkachuk and Pastrnak. Most of it was, it started with pushing and shoving at the end of a play, and then they're all statement time, right? You're not going to push us around. But rarely do you see two stars fight. And look, Pastrnak is Boston's top scorer. He's been in one fight in his career, and that was back in 2018. And all of a sudden, it's so rare, he had to ask the coach, is it okay if I fight? Because
it's not his realm.
It's not. Well, and look, if he throws a punch and breaks his hand, that's a franchise-changing decision, yeah, to let him fight. Look, Tkachuk is used to fighting. I was thinking of the adjective for Tkachuk, and rugged, tough, not enough, and all I could come up with, badass. That's about all I could think, because he does it all. He scores, he fights, he's a complete player that way, and so for Pastrnak to take on Tkachuk was interesting from Boston's perspective, because you had your star doesn't fight going against a guy. If Tkachuk lands, he threw like three haymakers and if he directly lands one and breaks his nose or his jaw or anything, then You know, so I get why Pasternak had to ask the coach, is it okay if I fight?
This is such an interesting culture and interesting sport. Obviously, I'm not a hockey guy. I don't watch the NHL on a regular basis. But when you throw in fighting and make it a boxing match as well, now you've piqued my interest. And this series has definitely piqued my interest. But what about the Boston-Miami rivalry? Is it good enough yet? You know, we've lived in the shadow of the New England Patriots for two decades before Tom Brady retired. And then we all know about the Miami Heat-Boston Celtics series. Now, can this Bruins-Panthers series sort of uptick this city rivalry, Boston versus Miami?
Yeah, it started last year. The Panthers are down 3-1. Boston had the historic regular season, most points in a regular season. They come in number one seed. They're thinking Stanley Cup. And the Panthers down 3-1, really 8th seed, come from nowhere from a national perspective and beat Boston. So that and it was a brutal series. It was like this past game over seven games. And that's why there's such attention to this next game, game three tonight, that you've seen where this series can go last year, and it's going there. And so the you got the Heat Panthers, or excuse me, the Panthers Bruins. You got the Heat Celtics, which over the last until this year, unfortunately, when and not just the Heat lost, they were undermanned. It wasn't even a series. But the previous 4 years, I believe, the three of them came down to the Heat Celtics to go to the NBA Finals. The Dolphins Patriots is the dud in it all. It's not even a rivalry.
I don't know if it's
there's
fair
no
to
consequence
say.
In them. Okay, that's what I mean. To be a great rivalry, there has to be consequence of winning or losing. There's great consequence for the Heat and the Panthers and their rivalry with Boston, but not.
This is blasphemy, Dave, because for Dolphin fans, they'll tell you that we split the series most years. Now, it doesn't necessarily lead to the AFC East championship.
I'd love to hear that for a couple of decades. Hey, we split the series. At home, we give them trouble. Meanwhile, they're winning six Super Bowls in the Dolphins camp. And I'm like, well, you know, that isn't the end game.
Well, that's everybody else's problem, everybody else's issue. Miami looks at it from the standpoint, hey, we split the series. We're not doormats to the New England Patriots.
I love the Dolphins. We can get into this, the optimism of the Dolphins. They will not be beaten down. I'm just fascinated by it.
You're talking about the franchise or the fan base?
No, the fan base. In fact, I saw a study after the draft. I think they're the third happiest fan base.
After the draft?
Yeah, about...
Oh, just... They're...
Just they think... You know, this cycle of hope, I call it, where they lose the regular season.
It's about building back hope.
And all, you know, they're angry. They go through the seven stages of hope. You know, you heard the 12 cycles of what?
Grief.
You know, the seven.
Is it 12?
I don't know. It's early. So you start the off season angry after how the regular season or postseason goes out, and it's slowly built back up through free agency and the draft, and then you get you sign like Odell Beckham, we're there, the full cycle of hope,
better team,
by the regular season, it'll be Super Bowl again.
You're right, the process starts with doom and gloom. We suck, we lost three straight games, and I would always point out to Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, and Patrick Mahomes, who I think are the gold standard for where the NFL is in terms of quarterbacking. In my opinion, no shame in losing those games to those caliber of quarterbacks, especially when you factor in what the injuries are. And I know most people want to say, "Oh, injuries, excuse." I don't sit in that. I don't sit with that opinion. But then you begin the process of building it back, and you're right, building back hope, building back optimism, building back confidence. I would argue, and we can talk about this later on in the show, but I would argue that this team is not built fundamentally as strong as last season's team will in certain key areas, primarily the trenches.
Completely agree.
Okay, then we don't have much of a fight. Yeah.
No, I was hoping, because I've been reading from other writers, more talented team than last year and this and that, and which I'm not saying they can't have a better season, because you can have some internal development and
absolutely and
all that.
I think that's where they're banking their hope and their optimism, that individual player development and coaching, even though to a lot of people's unawareness, they basically turned over half the coaching staff. But you know, they believe that player development, and I'm not of the opinion that Butch Barry or the defensive line coach can't polish up players and make them better than what they were in previous tenures with either with the other teams or in Miami. But to me, the trenches.
Completely agree that they lost their two toughest guys on each side of the line. And Rob Hunt and Christian Wilkins.
And
for a team that we're going to see the schedule come out next week and cold weather, and I'm not saying they break in cold weather, but you need trench play, especially in cold weather. You can't just rely on if they played three teams in the AFC East that played in a dome. That'd be different, you know. If you were in some
Excellent
of these,
point.
If some, but no, they go outside and play, and you're going to need. So, yeah, we can cover all this. We got a lot going on today. For May, mid-May, there's a lot happening in the South Florida sports.
Definitely, we're in my birthday month, so this is the pinnacle of life for me. Next week's my birthday.
You're still celebrating birthdays?
I think I'm going to celebrate this one just because I'm still alive. I'm at that point, Dave, in life where. When you start to see high school peers dropping,
counting how many of in your high school class and did the percentage and say, well,
I don't think I'm at the percentage yet. But when you start to see like, hey, this guy didn't make it. This guy has started having a heart attack. This guy just dropped dead. This guy just had heart surgery. I'm alive. I'm moving. I can complain about aches and pains, but I'm relatively healthy. I don't have any, you know, drastically dangerous medications that I'm surviving off of. So I think this is a year of celebration, Dave.
I'm going to celebrate your birthday after hearing all this.
Yeah, it's really the heart procedures and this guy just barely made it. And he,
well,
it's a send the prayer Facebook posts.
As someone a little older than you, it doesn't get any better.
So I haven't really celebrated many birthdays, but this
you're ready. You're ready.
Yeah, I'm ready to get back into the birthday celebration just because life is precious. It's not guaranteed, and I'm at that stage of life where I realize it's not guaranteed and it's kind of fleeting.
Good attitude. I like that. I like you're starting to. I think when I was in early mid 40s, 40 didn't hit me, but by the mid 40s, I couldn't play basketball like I used to.
Oh my All God! Sudden, you were still playing basketball in 40s?
Yeah. At 40, I remember thinking I would play every week, sometimes twice a week, and I remember thinking, oh, this is fine. 40 is fine. Then about 43, 44, I was like, ooh. My body's not doing what it used to be able to do. By 48, our basketball game had completely dissipated. We were done because there were too many people getting hurt.
I stopped that years ago. I stopped that in my 30s. I couldn't risk it. There was a period where, and you know this, Russo and Cunningham and Marvez and I think Ethan, they all tore ACLs playing basketball, and I was just like, "Yeah, I'm done."
But we don't move that quick when we play. Yeah. I think Perk still lives with the ACL tear.
Perk's had a knee. I think Perk had a knee replacement, but let me not put his business out there on the street. I mean, Perk will put his business out there on the street. But yeah, It's a different stage where I'm at. I'm in my later end of my 40s, and I think it's time that I actually pay attention and start celebrating life, because every year that you pass a birthday should be a victory lap for you. But speaking of victory lap, when we come back after this break, we'll talk a little bit more about these Boston-Miami rivalries and what does it take for the Panthers to get through this series.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
It won't change a thing, but man, you're going to see that on the highlights again, over and over and over again. I think it's a good thing. You got two elite offensive players. Chucky's a 100-point guy all day long. Pasternak's just this brilliant player, but it's playoffs. And they each have their team, right? They got their brothers in the room. It gets a little spicy out there, and they want to go. I think it was awesome. I think when it was over, they both looked like they were fine. Sorry, whoever's offended by that concept, I don't care. I thought it was awesome. And get on both. That was awesome.
Big series tonight. What time is it, Dave? 7 o'clock?
7 o'clock.
7 o'clock, so it's early enough. You got no excuses. You can sit down and watch some entertaining hockey. Florida Panthers heading into a Game 3 series, hosting a Game 3 series with the Boston Bruins. Series is tied at one apiece with two blowouts and fisticuffs in the last game. Let's see if there's going to be some carryover in terms of this boxing match that
there's the stakes are too high. No, the carryover would be at the end of the game again. It won't be at the beginning of the game because it'll be intense play, but they're not going to be fighting to go to the penalty box and possibly cost them the game. So, but it's interesting. That was Paul Maurice talking about Pasternak and Tkachuk fighting. The code of hockey.
Yeah, what is it?
Fighting. It doesn't follow the code. This follows the code, and it's always interesting. Usually, you don't fight a top scorer, okay? It'd be like somebody jumping Barkov. You never see Barkov or fight, okay? And so for Pasternak to get involved in this, from Boston's standpoint, was the story that... And the code, that's part of the code. You don't fight the other team's top scorers. The other code is you don't hit a guy when he's down. In other words, once they go to the ice, the fighting stops. Whereas in Boston...
Hold on. If I put you on the ground, I got to stop punching you?
That's part of the code.
But are we fighting or are we not fighting?
Well, you're fighting with gentleman rules. I'm sorry. There's a code.
Okay.
And so one of the controversies in Boston, more than here, because we're not a hockey town, is Kachuk,
we're just ignorant. We don't know any better, right?
I don't think we care.
Okay. All right.
I mean, that's what it comes down to. But it's interesting that one of the Kachuk threw a punch when Pastrnak was going to the ice, or was he on the ice? You know, and so in Boston, it's how dare Kachuk do that? You know, he didn't follow the code of fighting, And then, of course,
they're right. I'm ignorant. I don't know there's a code.
Right. But there's definitely a code to fighting. And that was sort of what Paul Maurice was getting to, that he thought it was awesome, even though a lot of people, and his quote right after that was, "Sorry if this offends you, but I thought it was awesome." Because, you know, this is what hockey is. I don't know this, but the idea of every game there's mass fighting. They've gotten away from it. It's not the 70s anymore, 80s. In fact, this was the most penalty minutes in a Panthers playoff game and the most for Boston since 1988, which sort of sums up, you know, it was a throwback game in that regard.
Interesting. I always watch when I see all these fisticuffs, and I got to admit, I didn't watch the game, but I definitely saw the highlights and became intrigued, or the highlights of the fights, and I became intrigued. But I always wonder about the refs. Like, they stand there and they watch, and when do they say, okay, let me get in there and break it up? Like, what's the protocol there?
I don't know. I think when they start to go to the ice, that's the message to get in there and break it up. Or, and part of it depends on who the fighters are. If they're the two, and the Panthers don't really have this guy. A lot of teams don't have this guy anymore, the fighter, you know, the enforcer. Last year they had Radko Gudas, who was, I mean, he played, but he also doubled as the enforcer. But if it's two tough guys, they let them go a little longer than not. But, you know, I'm not an expert in the code, but I know about it, and I'm fascinated by it.
Yeah.
I used to, my limited times around hockey in recent years, but before that, Paul Loss was the enforcer going way back and they've always had it. And it'd be interesting to talk to those guys,
what they think about that last playoff game and whether it's getting back to the old school hockey.
Yeah, but more of just coming to the rink knowing. Can you imagine your day built around from the time you get up knowing you're going to have to fight this other guy on the other team, probably?
Okay.
You're
talking about the carryover to game three.
Yeah, well, no, I'm just talking about it because I don't think there will be a carryover from a fighting standpoint because, again, the stakes are too high. No one's going to be dumb enough to drop gloves.
And have 5 minutes into the match.
And risk, you know, giving the other team the power play, which could lead to a goal that costs the game at this point in the year. No one's going to do that. So, but it'll be what does is raise the intensity. The intensity of the game will be raised. But don't go into the game expecting mass fights. Maybe at the end of the game,
I'm watching for the fights, though, Dave.
Well, and this is what hockey wrestles with the idea of: do we want fighting or not?
Yeah,
or,
it comes into the equation much like car crashes in NASCAR. Right. You know, my father, who's a big racing fan, he'll admit I watch for the crashes and the collisions. So I don't know. Maybe hockey fans are watching for the fast paced action, as opposed to the fisticuffs. Well, I'm drawn in right now by the fisticuffs.
I think you'll get a lot of pushing and shoving after, you know, when a goalie makes a save and covers up, and they'll be pushing and shoving. But there's not going to be just dropped gloves and like Pastrnak and Kachuk going to center ice and fighting. Again, unless it happens at the end of the game in a blowout.
Round two, definitely. But this is game three of this NHL playoff series, the Boston Bruins against the Florida Panthers, here hosted in South Florida. What has the atmosphere been like in the playoffs so far?
Well, the game one, it was kind of depressing if you're a Panther fan, in that you're up 1-0 midway through the second period, and all of a sudden – Boston scores three goals on three shots to end the period, and it went that way. So it was deflating. Now, last game, it was probably as loud an arena as you're going to be in because, you know, everything went very well the Panthers' way, even to the point from a drama standpoint, Boston scored first. But, you know, then you get to the fights and all that, and, of course, the crowd goes crazy. You're winning 6-1. When Paul Maurice said, I think it was awesome, I think part of it was, hey, we were kicking their butt on the ice, and then we got to kick their butt in fights, too. So it was awesome.
Interesting series. Hopefully it continues to be an interesting one. Let's move a little bit to the NBA playoffs. And I've obviously the Miami Heat are not participants in it, but this seems to me like an era where it's a changing of the guards in terms of the young superstars are sort of taking over the league. These are younger teams from Cleveland to Oklahoma City. Denver's not exactly a young team, but they just won an NBA championship. Minnesota, that's one of the teams that, you know, I thought they were kind of fool's gold in terms of how they would play in the regular season would carry over to the postseason, and it certainly has. And we could be looking at an era where, you know, Ant-Man is becoming the gold standard for NBA American players. And I got to say American players just because we've got some Europeans that are really at the top of the pyramid in terms of the hierarchy of the league. But Minnesota, they're kind of a throwback team.
Two big guys, which never happens in the NBA anymore.
Yeah.
And then Anthony Edwards is the guy this playoffs, he's become the guy. You say, yeah, I want to watch Minnesota because of Anthony Edwards. And that tells you where his marquee is, you know, where he's gone up in the marquee in the NBA. Because I'm tuning into, oh, yeah, Minnesota's playing. Let me just turn it on there and see how. Mm-hmm. I want to watch this Anthony Edwards guy. Everybody's talking. And then you see why they're talking about him. And really, till these playoffs, I'd seen him here and there and read about, oh, he's really good. But yeah. This is his breakthrough.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think they had many nationally televised games. So the mainstream market hasn't really gotten a hold of him. But I definitely think he's a dynamic, talented player, quite interesting to watch. But I remember when I was a young kid, and this is probably the gold standard era. I was too young for Bird Magic in their prime. That was... I wasn't paying attention to basketball at that time. I heard about it. I knew about it. By the time I started paying attention, Larry Bird barely could move. What I did remember was this young guy, Michael Jordan, would spend years trying to get past the Boston Celtics and then getting beat up by the Detroit Pistons, and watching his rise to prominence was what made me fall in love with not just basketball but all of sports. And now I look at it from this standpoint, and I lived through the Kobe era. I lived through the LeBron era, and there were young superstars that you can sort of latch onto, and they carried that sport, the Steph Curry era. Now we're looking at it, and this generation of young players, I mean, they're probably just as talented. They're in markets that are not exactly that have the greatest amount of sex appeal to them.
Well, Jalen Brunson's in New York. I mean, you have to throw him in there, that breaking out.
That's fair. Having seen him, because I pay attention to the Heat and watch, he's always been a good player. Never thought he can carry a franchise the way that he's carrying one right now. We'll see how long that goes, but... he is 24, and I did just realize he was 24. I'm like, how long has this guy been in the league to be 24 years old? Like, did he enter the league at like 18, at like 19?
Yeah, and Anthony Edwards is 22.
Yeah.
I mean, it'll be interesting how they manage their careers and how much they win, how much winning matters to them, et cetera, because, yeah, you know, that's the journey they're on now. But, Jordan winning meant everything to him, and the pain of getting over Detroit.
Yeah.
I remember him going up to the Detroit GM, Jack McCloskey, the story was, after losing to Detroit one series, and he said, man, we're never going to get by you. And McCloskey said, your time's coming. And it was interesting that the right, you know, a rival GM saying that to Jordan, your time's coming. And so it just, how much does it winning mean to these guys? Is you know, because they're making so much money now, everybody's going to be telling them they're great. You know,
gonna be telling them they're great.
Well, right,
yeah,
right, right.
This is the AAU era of basketball, yeah. And we, I mean, we've seen AAU become more significant than high school basketball. And probably more significant than the college era because players were pretty much one and done, especially when you're that talented. So
the NBA needs it too because look at LeBron's 40 now. I mean, he's still a beast at 40, but you know, he's not what he was. Durant putting up big numbers still, but Phoenix, something's wrong there, which might help the Heat out as they're looking to unload Jimmy Butler. And, you know, then the Warriors, too, are – what you're crinkling up? Like, what do you
I'm a little bit unsettled by that statement, but there. Heat are looking to unload Jimmy Butler.
We'll see if they do, but absolutely. You don't think they're – looking to, okay, what could we get for him?
And how does that make things better here?
Well, it depends on what you get for him.
Okay. Right? I mean.
How does it make it look? The Heat need to get back to their culture. The famed Heat culture.
Are you saying that Jimmy is not part of that culture? Because I think he's carried that culture.
Definitely not this year.
Not this year. Okay.
Look, when he plays... When he goes to a tennis match for 8 hours and then calls in sick to a game the next day, that's when he, third game of the year, they've talked to him in the offseason, you need to play more. Third game of the year, he said, I need a rest. You don't hear of him coming to the gym at 3 and 5 in the morning to practice anymore like the first year when it just seemed like a perfect marriage. That's eroded a little of the Heat culture. In fact, I asked Pat Riley that, you know, and he said, no, it hasn't. We're still the same. But he put his fist together. We're not that anymore, you know. But I think that's what they need to get back to because that's who they are. And
what pro out there personifies that? Kevin Durant, you just trade Jimmy.
Bam Adebayo personifies that.
Okay, Bam. I mean, Bam. So you think that it's about getting Bam a better superstar than Jimmy Butler?
Yeah. Well, here's your options. Do you give Jimmy another year? Basically, you're trading a 2-year contract for a 3-year contract of more money, of course. Do you want to do that at age 35 to Jimmy Butler? And the problem is you didn't see playoff Jimmy this year because he got hurt. And you didn't see him in the regular season, that's for sure. You didn't see him in the play-in games.
You kept waiting for playoff Jimmy, and playoff Jimmy never arrived.
In part because he was hurt, but there's also metrics that say his game's going down, he's going to be 35 next year. That happens. But... You know, do you want to invest in that? Do you want to, or do you want to opt out at this point? So when you say yes, I think they're going to be looking around for a trade partner. I don't know if they find one, but I say that in the previous four years, Jimmy Butler delivered as much to South Florida sports as any single player has done in probably my time. Two NBA finals, they rode him, and three Eastern Conference finals. So, it's bizarre that it's come to this with the Heat and Jimmy.
Definitely. When we come back after this, we'll talk a little bit about Jimmy Butler and his future in South Florida.
The things you have to really look at that are good, who moves the needle the most, you know, on our team is Jimmy. Jimmy moves the needle the most. He's an incredible player. And so, and what I said at the beginning about change is he's got to give it some thought himself, you know, for this thing to be what he really wants it to be. And so, and I want it to be, and Mickey and everybody else. So So this 5-year window, we've been pretty successful. We haven't won the chip, and I think that bothers everybody.
That is our respected pillar of South Florida sports, Pat Riley, the vice president. What is he?
He's the president.
Oh, sorry.
He's the everything.
I'm so used to vice presidents. You know, everybody doesn't get the president status. But, yeah, Pat has earned his presidential role, the just creator of culture. And it's very interesting, the State of the Union that – we look forward to every single year, not just the writers, but I think all of South Florida does, just because Pat throws truths out there, and he's probably the only man in this market that can...
Absolutely. That's exactly where I was going with it. He sat there for... I looked at my phone. It was 45 minutes in. I think they went another 5 minutes or so, 50 minutes. He took all the questions that we had, talked it out. Right, and we've been to others, Dolphins, where 10 minutes in, they're like, oh, he's got to go. He's got a meeting. He's got to go, you know? And
yeah,
it's,
no.
It's like, and
that's not fair to the Dolphins. Sometimes we tap out.
But you're right, and I shouldn't say it's most teams across sports now. Riley is almost the exception,
yeah,
where he'll sit there and give the media slash the fans too. It makes it easier to be a Heat fan. You're understanding where he's coming from, and he wields the truth as he sees it. And
yeah.
And the truth, you ask about Jimmy, he says he needs to play more games. You ask about would they have won without Jimmy, as he said, he goes, he needs to shut up. You don't talk that way. You know, if you don't, not in the series, don't talk.
Not only that, the title hero.
Fragile. I mean, that's the truth, right? I mean, that's what I love about Pat Riley. Now, he has the championships
yes.
in the career, the portfolio.
He's got the stripes on his
jacket. To back up yeah. everything he says, where not many people do, and so not many people can look
yeah.
down from the throne.
Like the GM for life, as you said. That was a low blow, Dan.
Well, it's true.
I mean, it technically is kind of true. I don't even, and I've thought about this. I've covered the Dolphins for 16 years, generally, and Chris Greer has been around for all of those 16 and more. And I couldn't tell you the last time he signed a contract, or it became public knowledge he signed a contract. I remember one time an executive in the league told me, hey, I believe Chris Greer just got an extension. And I was like, I couldn't even prove it.
Well, the weird thing is, let's back it up. When Mike Tannenbaum was here, just to make the most current reference.
Yeah.
By the third year, like, is he going to survive? He's on his way out, right? I mean, and we're in year six of
well,
a 5-year plan.
Let's also acknowledge that when he got in, it was kind of a surprise. He just like, oh. I'm now the head man in charge after being a consultant.
Was it a surprise when Chris got in? When he took over for Mike? He was the one who survived.
Yes.
I was like, whoa, what? He survived?
I don't know if that's too surprising just because of who's running the organization. And I understood his survival from this standpoint.
What about then when did you – when – The coach,
Adam
Gase. Flores was
Brian
fired.
Flores. Oh,
remember
that,
they
now,
called the press conference after the, and it's like somebody's getting fired, and everybody's like, "Well, Chris's career is probably getting fired because, you know, they've just won 10 games. They're not going to fire the coach. He won 10 games with that roster, right?
Oh, that
and now there's a whole different dynamic to
yes.
that one. Flores' attitude and not getting
insubordination,
along, not being happy when the owner told him to lose more games.
I mean, yeah, that or get on a yacht with Tom Brady.
yeah. So, but yes, GM for life. I mean, nobody's talking about pressure on Chris Greer.
You're right. I mean, you and I have both, I think, done our best to try to hold him accountable to what's happened inside the organization. But the truth of the matter is, he is the GM for life. he is. He. I mean, if you look at where they are as an organization, and the, you know, you realize Tua has never had a losing season here in Miami. Not to say that that's, you know, they've accomplished or achieved anything paramount or impressive, and no playoff wins. But I believe Tua's record is 38-19 as an NFL starting quarterback, and it's kind of hard to.
You're gonna hop on the Tua train now. We're gonna ride this Tua train. Is that where we're going?
No. Not Tua. This is about Chris Greer and where the organization is. Do they the all in approach?
They tricked the system, right? I mean, they tanked for 2 years. They got a lot of draft picks.
Yes.
Then they did a 180, and they traded all their draft picks and spent all that salary
because,
cap money
because they had
to
make
their window.
Because they had a short, they had a short shelf life. But the reality
why?
Is,
they didn't have
because
a short
when you
shelf
have that many young players, when you have that many young players that are trending up and ascending, you can't afford them all.
Yeah, but if you keep drafting, you will replace them all. And they traded their draft pick. They had the least draft capital over the last 3 years of any team in history. They had 8 picks the previous 2 years. 8 picks.
Yeah.
No first.
The Rams might challenge that as well.
No, but the Dolphins don't. The Dolphins won. They win.
They win the F those picks derby.
The GM of the Rams came out and F the picks, right?
Yeah, no.
That was the Dolphins. That's what
that
I mean,
was the blueprint they were working on.
Well, initially the blueprint was all we want is picks. All we want is picks.
No,
right?
Yes.
We're going to tank for 2 years and trade all our players and get picks. And then they did a 180 and said F the picks. And so that's why we're in this little window of...
It's a seismic shift. But I think it's important to replenish the roster. I think if they're working towards doing that, I don't think that's going to be done in one off season.
You're buying it. You're buying into the.
They're not in the contender. They're not in the contender.
Oh my god!
What are you talking about? What is it? Oh my god! What is a disappointment?
Oh my god.
Listen.
Well, then they failed. They failed.
If you don't win a championship, everybody fails.
No, it's not even about winning a championship. It's just contending for a champ. It's being in the 8 teams or 4 teams or 6 teams, whatever you want to phrase it, that we can do it.
I don't think that they weren't in that last season up until, and I know everybody looks at this as an excuse, up until you're ending the final month of the season, you're no interior offensive line, no pass rushers, no safety, you know, relatively your star safety sideline. Then you're talking about your top 3 offensive weapons are all playing on one leg.
But why? Okay, Buffalo's defense lost all of their top players.
Yes.
Okay. And
not all of them, but yes,
a significant
amount.
They lost as much as the Dolphins up until the playoff game.
Not offensive weaponry. Yes. Not offensive weaponry. When you're playing in those critical games without a Pro Bowl running back, all-pro wide receiver, he was there, but let's be real about it. Tyreek wasn't.
Well, why was Tyreek Hill hurt?
Because he got his ankle rolled up on, and
in the past 2 years, they've targeted him 170 and 171 times. Why is that? They didn't have a third receiver. That's, to me, what this smart way this offseason's gone. They've got what I call Plan B. Plan A was Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, and 2 quick releases and throw. Good defenses took that away.
Plan B was running back as well with Raheem Mostert and Devon Achane. You're talking about Plan B for a passing game?
I'm Plan B for take some pressure off Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle in that passing game. So when teams take that away, we can still beat you. And so they got a tight end. They got a third receiver. They got another running back. So that's what I think Mike McDaniel and Chris Greer have done this year. They when the question was, why are we only scoring 16 points against good teams? Well, that's what has happened. Against playoff teams, they're 1-6. And so this is why, when we bring up the injuries, yes, they were hurt. By the Chiefs game, their defense was decimated. Okay, they're bringing guys off the couch to play defense, to be the edge rusher. I get that. But I don't think the defense really costs them.
No. I think a number of things in that Kansas City game, that including the weather and the fact that both teams couldn't throw on one side, heading in one direction on the field, were factors in that game. But, you know, those are all to the fan excuses. And I think McDaniel.
They are.
Yeah.
The biggest excuse is they had to play in Kansas City. I mean,
yeah. I mean,
they could have easily won home field.
Definitely. But when we come back after this on WQAM, Joe, we'll talk a little bit about Odell Beckham and his impact on the Miami Dolphins offense.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.